Today's podcast brought to you by Elders and Reinagard by Zoetis. Welcome back to our podcast series on the grill for Beef Central. I'm Kerry Lonergan, and today it's my pleasure to highlight one of the almost hidden gems of the beef industry in Australia. It's called ICMJ, which stands for Intercollegiate Meat Judging. It started out basically with meat judging, but it's become much, much more. It now encompasses the best, brightest, the up-and-comers of the beef industry, being mentored by the established movers and shakers, the big names of beef. Later on, I'll be speaking with two of the best and the brightest, but first, let's meet one of the people responsible for starting ICMJ. He lectures in rural science at the University of New England in Armidale, New South Wales, Dr. Peter McGilchrist. Peter, welcome.
Yeah, good morning, Kerry. It's great to be with you.
Peter, I just mentioned ICMJ is now much more than meat judging, but that's virtually where this ICMJ movement started, isn't it? Tell us about the beginning of ICMJ.
Yeah, so ICMJ started right back in 1990 with the first competition, and it was started by a man that will be familiar to most around the industry, John Carter. And John was on a Churchill Fellowship in the early 80s, and he was in America at the time, and in Denver or Greeley, Colorado, and there was an ICMJ competition there, and he got chatting to a few gentlemen, and they were telling him about this ICMJ, and of course he'd never heard of it much, and it wasn't here in Australia, but he thought, oh, what a fantastic way, and these Americans were telling John how it basically helps to attract people into the industry and then show them the career opportunities that are there. And as a result, many of their managers in the American beef processing sector do have tertiary degrees. Not that that's necessary, but there's a lot of upper management that have come out of the ICMJ program. So when John came home, he pinned his ears back, and it took a few years to gain some momentum. But in 1990, they held their first competition in Sydney, and it's grown from there. And it was really this need of our beef industry to get more people in there that can take us forward in this, you know, competitive and ever-changing world of beef processing. And so there was a fair bit of foresight there, really, in looking at the challenges that would face us and the capacity, intellect that we'd need to be able to solve some of those challenges.
I reckon John Carter be able to talk a few people to get involved back in those days.
Yeah, he was certainly the driving force behind it, and John's was always funny telling stories. But he'd be at MLA whacking him in with one hand and then holding his hand out for ICMJ funding with the other, you know. And to their credit, they saw the value of MLA and AMPC have been long time supporters of the program, and saw the value of what it does, and could put everything else aside and still support ICMJ.
I'm not the least surprised, but we'll talk about funding in a moment. What was a typical agenda in those early sessions of ICMJ?
Yeah, so it was just a one-day competition up until 2006. It changed to a longer format from 1990 to 2005. I competed in 2002 myself, but we drove from Armidale to Wagga in one day, competed the next day, partied all night, and then drove home on the third day. So, we learned a little bit. We saw inside a processor, mostly through our training. So it was really reliant on the coaches at the university level or the college level to educate their students. And then basically we got together for a competition. But because of the size of Australia and costs going up and, you know, everyone getting a bit more time poor as we go through time somehow. Luckily, Professor Peter Wynn saw the writing on the wall and said, you know, a one-day competition, everyone driving this distance to come together is really not economical and not sustainable. So in 2006, they moved the competition to here at UNE. And made it a four-day format, and now we're through to a five-day format. So where we've got a lot more education, there's a careers expo. We have basically lectures in the morning or presentations from you know, well-renowned industry experts, and Beef Central are our media supporters in that. And then in the afternoons, workshops, and then on the Friday and Saturday is a small stock competition, and Saturday is the beef competition. But it's really now not about the actual competition. It's about engaging students in our industry and showing them the opportunities that exist within it. And, you know, just the array of jobs that occur in processing. You know, a lot of people might think we get an animal and turn it into meat, chop it up and sell it. But there's so much sophistication that happens in that 24 hours or 48 hours. And the roles, you know, in the environment sides, in the waste management sides, in the electrical space and water and engineering and technologies and data management and sales and export documentation. You know, there's so much procedure and so much accuracy that needs to happen in processing. So it's really getting them to understand that and to understand that there's so many great roles and so much opportunity in the beef and sheep industries.
When did the mentoring part of ICMJ evolve? When did you have some of the big hitters from across the beef industry coming in to talk to these young people?
Yeah, so mentoring happens, you know, through the conference. We get a lot of those speakers in, and that's always happening. But during COVID, actually, you know, it's interesting what COVID has created. But when everything was shut down, we thought, you know what, we can still line up some of these, you know, alumni of ICMJ or leaders in our industry, you know, with some of these young graduates or recent people that have entered the industry. And run a mentoring program. So we have once a year what's called the Hour of Power, and there's no obligations after that, but basically we get a mentor and a mentee together, and they spend an hour, and basically a lot of those relationships continue, and they keep helping each other through the careers. And it's interesting, it goes both ways, and that's a good sign of a mentee-mentor relationship, is when there's mutual respect and when they learn something from each other, because there's a lot we can learn from the younger generation. Of course, they want to know about our experience and how to handle different situations as you come into the workforce and you're working through, you know, how to work with people. You know, a lot of those questions come through. So it's a really informal connection to be able to ask some of those questions on a 101. So, yeah, that's been working really well.
And many of your mentors are, in fact, they were among the first to go through ICMJ training courses.
Yeah, there's a lot that circle back. So Jason Strong and Troy Setter and Sarah Strawn, and there's a long list. Haley, Robinson, there's been a long list of people that have been through the program and now back and assisting, or, you know, putting the shoulder to the wheel in that mentoring program. But, you know, those people also had mentors when they were going through that they found naturally, and so very willing to give back and meet someone and spend a bit of time in this ICMJ system.
Now, how easy, or was it easy at all, to find financial support for the ICMJ programs? It wouldn't have been, you must have looked around and say, where are you going to find the money? Where did you look?
Yeah, it's. I've been on the committee now since 2007, so maybe been there a while. But we used to be in a basically a 1 year funding arrangement, and there's just no longevity in that. You can't sink your teeth into it. You can't have many strategic plans. And it was actually Michael Crowley and Sarah Strawn back in about 2009. I'm going to say we went to a 5 year funding deal with AMPC and MLA. So those two have been a long time supporters well before that, but since 2009 we've been in these 5 year funding agreements, and so it basically allows you, like running any company, it allows us to have a, you know, go into the red a little bit 1 year and in the black another year and adjust fees and things like that as we go through. So that's been really good, and for many years we've been getting industry sponsorship as well to, you know, to support the program from our, you know, many of the big processing companies and lots of companies that are around the beef industry. And just recently, or maybe 2 years ago, 2002, we actually started on a where we put that those industry dollars into an MLA donor company project. So that gets matched with federal government money. And those industry dollars are actually what funds our northern competition now. So we've got 5 years of this MDC project, and the core levy funds fund the national competition down at Wagga Wagga.
And when did ICMJ start to arrange these extraordinary trips to the USA to have Aussies compete against their contemporaries from the American beef industry?
Yeah, that started all the way back in, I think, 1993. They took one student over, or John Carter, and presented it back to the same Americans you'd met back 10 years prior to that in the same canteen at the abattoirs there at Greeley. So 1993, but it's been pretty stable, taking five people since about 1997. So, you know, those five, and I was in 2003, with Jason Strong and Rebecca Underwood, and I'm not sure Jason has got over it yet, but it's you know, that we put a lot of effort into the five of us, and it for me, you know, it really changed my track in life, and it had a big influence, and meeting all the meat scientists in America as we traveled around, really, you know, identified a whole era of science that I didn't even really know was a thing. So I pinned my ears back when I got back to uni, look where we are now, enjoying that very same field of science. But, you know, as a second year at university in an ag degree, I had no idea where I was off to. So it's ICMJ has been very formative in my career, and I certainly love, you know, giving back to the program every year, and also just seeing where these graduates come from, and then seeing some of them be very successful in our industry. But we basically want to attract them there. We don't want them to go off into another workforce, because they're young and enthusiastic, and we need that passion in our industry to drive us forward.
Well, I think a trip to America might fire a few people up about the industry. How different is American judging for these young people when they get there and see what happens in the judging process there?
Yeah, so the American judging system's pretty hectic compared to us. So our uni students might compete in one or maybe two, if they're lucky, competitions in across their university. But those guys will do maybe seven or eight competitions in a year, and they'll drive from Texas to New York State to compete in those. You know, so it's they do massive miles. For us, what we have to learn, or the challenges for the Aussies that go there, is the yield grading and also quality grading that we have to do. So they assign a quality grade, basically, and maybe some of us have know, like prime, choice, select, you know, cutter and all of those sort of grades. We have to learn how to assign those. And then the yield grade, we have to look at eye muscle areas in square inches, for instance. Like, most Aussie students don't even know what an inch is, let alone how to assess an eye muscle in square inches. And then you get this a yield grade for each carcass. And so, yeah, they're the challenges. Plus, you're up against students that have been doing, some of them do, you know, 20 to 40 hours a week training for this stuff a year. It's big, yeah. It's big, big stakes over there.
Big stakes. Indeed. I know that some of your people have been over there. They speak with glowing praises of their experiences in the various shows over there. How do the Aussies go when they compete against the American youngsters in judging?
Yeah, well, we've won it three times, and one of those times was this year. Back in January, they won the National Western ICMJ competition, the Australian team. So beat in the A division. So beat all the American teams that were in that. So there's two divisions in America: the seniors, which are the land grant universities, and then this A division, which is more of your college based education institution. So we, because we're coming from a long way behind, we compete in the A division, and we took that out this year. So it was really good. Last time we did that was in 2018. And the time before that was like in 2002, maybe. So it was a long time between drinks.
Yeah, but they hold the crown at presently.
Yes.
Wow. Now, in the beef industry, Peter, it seems to me, and I think a lot of people in the industry, that beef is now a much more attractive career path than it was in days gone by. Is that a reasonable assessment, or are we just looking through rose-tinted glasses?
No, I don't think so. I think it's I think it really is. But there is so much opportunity. There's so much sophistication in the industry, and that's only going to increase. You know, as we drive on into the next decade of carbon accounting and climate variability, and then also, you know, looking at methane outputs. But we still need to make a profit. We still need to be more sustainable than ever. You know, beef production is not going to get easier in the next decade. So, you know, those challenges of where we've got opposing directions that we need to go in, that's impressive that we have to deal with that, but it attracts these undergrads as well.
Dr. Peter McGilchrist from the University of New England, one of the blokes who helped start the Intercollegiate Meat Judging, or ICMJ as it's known. Thank you so much for being on The Grill with Beef Central today.
Thanks, Gary. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Time for a break. We'll be back after this short, important message. Breathe easy with Rhinogard, the only single-dose intranasal vaccine for control of IBR in your cattle. Get in control of bovine respiratory disease, that's BRD, before it begins. Just deliver a single intranasal spray of Rhinogard for rapid IBR control, and add a single dose of BoviShield MH1 for protection against pneumonia. For rapid protection against MHN IBR in your weaners and pre-feedlot cattle, breathe easy with BoviShield and Rhinogard. Available from your local vet today.
For over 180 years, Elders has proudly been supporting Australian livestock producers. Elders supports your business across the production cycle with more than 350 livestock agents, access to specialist livestock advice and auction services. Draw on our established relationships to buy and sell commercial and stud livestock across domestic and international markets. Enjoy Del Credere guaranteed payments when you sell with Elders. Livestock funding also available, subject to approval. Elders, for Australian agriculture.
Welcome back. You're on The Grill with Beef Central. And we're talking about the ICMJ Intercollegiate Meat Judging. And let's meet, and I confess through circumstance I'm meeting them today, right now for the very first time, Chloe Gould, now with Greenhams, and Ethan Mooney, who is with the Tees Company. Welcome to you both. Chloe, let's start with you. A lot of people probably may have seen the acronym but don't know what it is. Tell us about ICMJ.
Yeah, so ICMJ is the Australian Intercollegiate Meat Judging Association. And that association was formed back in 1990, and it really focuses on bringing young, educated people through, a platform to be able to educate them really about the red meat industry. And that ICMJ platform has really now started to diversify out, and we're really welcoming through industry professionals to be able to continue to broader, the young people in our red meat industry a lot more about, the entire supply chain.
Yes, you do that partially at least over a three-day program. Ethan, have you been to one of these programs?
I have, Kerry. I did my program in 2013 in Wagga, whilst I was a student at University of Sydney. So I think it's grown from what it was back then to have being a single Wagga event to now having four or five separate events across the entire year. So we're trying to be able to spread the message not only to university students, but also to industry students, as Chloe alluded to, and also now into our high school students with our Gympie Classic and our Wynnum Beef Bonanza. So there's a number of different programs that the ICMJ has broadened itself into, other than just its original university-focused program.
And another part is that it's not just judging, is it, Chloe? Carcass judging, how important is that?
Yeah, so, towards the end of the conference, we do have that opportunity to really expose the students to, the carcass judging side of things. And really, this is just to be able to give them that educational, format on being able to what makes it a really good carcass and the eating quality side of things, linking that back really through to what the consumers actually buy on a day-to-day basis. But really what the program's very much about is really that conference side of things. So we're bringing in a lot of really high class speakers. We do a lot of different workshops, hands-on practical experience for a lot of the students and industry participants that actually come through the program. That really just gives them that plate-to-plate really understanding of, what are some of those key drivers and implications across the supply chain, whether that's good or bad, that really links back to, the overall eating quality and that what those consumers are actually going to get on a day-to-day basis. So it's really just linking that all in together. And then obviously at the towards the end of the program or the conference, we do have, that overall judging component. And then that leads on to the next thing for those students as well.
I want to talk about the judging. I think there might be a bit of competition among there. But Ethan, you have some big hitters as guest speakers there from which you learn a lot, I gather.
That's the key, Kerry, to the entire program, is that the exposure of university students or the industry participants to people that they may not have the exposure to. So it's not necessarily people within the direct industry that they're in, but people who are influential and, as you said, big hitters within their own key industry. So, this year in the Northern ICMJ, our key speaker is Sam Fryer. So Sam's obviously from his podcast, A Place to Call Home. And it's not just about him being a beef producer, but it's also about him being a podcaster. It's about the mental health advocacy that Sam presents, but it's also linking students and participants to be able to have a connection with somebody that they can really take some key messages home from. Now, being able to have a 3 or 4 day conference is one thing, but able to actually link that with people who are very influential within our industry, but all of them, most notably, I would say a very high percentage of all those people have at some point in their career participated at the ICMJ, whether that's in the early 90s, the mid 2000s, or in the last couple of years. There is a huge amount of payback that all of the participants, that as they've gone and progressed in their careers and have got themselves into advocacy positions or key positions of influence, they're all giving back to the next generation, and all of those are coming back to ICMJ.
Ethan, let's start with some big names that you've had addressing the ICMJ program.
Certainly the ones that have been the previous alumni, one of the biggest ones that would obviously jump out is Jason Strong. Now, Jason is a life member of the ICMJ himself, being able to, work himself into being a participant, a coach of the ICMJ for the US tour, and also being able to give back to multiple speaking spots, multiple appearances across many of the platforms. So they're the kind of speakers and they're the kind of levels of expertise that students and participants are actually exposed to when they come to these.
Who's impressed you, Chloe, that's turned up as a guest speaker?
Yeah, I guess, as we look across the industry, there's a lot of names that come to my mind that's really at the forefront of the red meat industry. You've got the likes of Sarah Strawn. She's come through the program. She's now, still sitting in MLA. She's gone through MSA and now leads quite a large team within MLA. You've also got the likes of Ben Robinson heading up some of the Oz Meat team as well. You've also got the likes of Mick Crowley, the CEO of Hereford Australia. And so as you look around the industry, there's definitely so many influences and impacts that you can see that's directly related back from this program. As Ethan mentioned, you kind of turn to your left or you turn to the right in the industry and, you've all got that connection and that point back to, being a participant and actually being going through this program. And I think that's what's really powerful about this program is that, those networks and those connections that you build as a student going through the program, they go with you for your life throughout your entire career. It's just such a powerful thing. Ethan and I, have gone through the program. We've then since worked together. We've started that Northern ICMJ, and we've been able to really continue to give back. And it's just, that power that comes from the ICMJ is just an amazing thing to be able to be a part of.
Without straining too much, Troy Satter, Gary Edwards, there's a couple more names. The alumni is outstanding, isn't it?
Absolutely, and it's a testament to how strong the program actually is, and how well versed it was in actually giving what the industry needed to students, and continues to give to students. You know, it's there to be able to provide, or designed to be able to inspire the future leaders of the red meat industry. It was there to provide people with the skills and the knowledge that gives them that head start in their career. Yeah. It's not necessarily about the exact topic around meat science. It's not about that. That's the fun part. That's the fun part. The part is the immersion in the program. It's about being around people of your peers who, more than likely, you're going to be working alongside as either competitors, or you're going to be working alongside them as people in your business for the next 20 or 30 or 40 years within the meat industry. It's very small. Everybody knows everybody, remarkably, and being able to be in that program, whether it's in Wagga, whether it's in Rockhampton, or any of the other ones that ICMJ has, that's the key, is to immerse yourself and to take on the full experience of what the meat industry has to offer.
Yeah, well said, Ethan. Now, Chloe, you were, I understand, I've just been told you were captain of the Australian team in America one year, is that correct?
I was fortunate to be a part of the Australian team in 2017. And I think there was a really great bunch of five people that was able to participate. I wouldn't say that I was the captain by any means, but there was definitely a really strong team of five of us that went over there. And, the insights that we were able to gain about the US system and the way that they grade compared to us, that experience in its own is phenomenal, and that experience that you're able to then bring back and put into your everyday life in the red meat industry is such a powerful thing. I reflect on some of those things that I've seen while I was over in the US, and those comparisons of that US grading system is just so different to Australia. So it's a really great thing to be a part of.
What's the fundamental difference, Chloe? Do they grade the entire carcass, whereas we tend to grade a cut?
That's exactly right. So the USDA system very much goes on, your overall marbling, and then also your yield grade. And, in comparison, when you start talking about the Australian system and the MFA system, it's very much down to a cut-by-cook combination. So, when we grade our carcasses in Australia, we can start to understand how will the individual primal or that piece of steak cook compared to on the different cooking methods, across the entire carcass. And, I think that's a really powerful thing about the Australian, model. It takes in all the different attributes and then it will give you that overall eating quality for the cut-by-cook combination.
Ethan mentioned that judging wasn't the entire part, not even perhaps the most important part of the ICMJ program. You'd support that, Chloe, I assume?
Yeah, 100%. And I guess I've been really fortunate. I've been one of the participants that have gone through the entire program, right from, being a school participant, then through the university, channel. And then I've been really fortunate to be part of that Northern ICMJ and see that come all to fruition. And then, obviously continue to give back to the program, similar to what Ethan said. The conference as a whole, just has so much power in its own, and really that end point of that competition, it's just such a small part of the overall, what the entire program has to offer.
Ethan, you're at the pointy end involved with the Tees Corporation. Has meat sciences and grading evolved across the years, or is it much the same as it was a few years back?
Oh, no, I think it certainly has changed drastically, not only just for Tees, but as an industry as a whole, Kerry. And I suppose there was probably a number of people who were involved early on with the ICMJ that have gone on to create exceptional careers within the meat, the MSA grading or MLA team, and were quite influential on what that those grading outcomes were. And we've mentioned some of those names previously, but it's changed drastically in the last 20, 25 years and continues to evolve to be, the premier way of grading a carcass for its eating quality attributes across the globe. There are certainly other grading systems that do similar jobs, but to the effectiveness and to be as thorough Certainly nothing goes past the MSA grading.
Chloe, has this program or programs like it or anything else in the beef industry of late, is it helping attract students from perhaps city or regional backgrounds to work in agriculture and in particular in the beef industry?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really interesting question. And I guess Ethan would be able to definitely comment on this as well. But ICMJ as a platform of its own is really a standalone program as such in terms of, you know, being able to give the opportunity to both the regional and remote students, but then also those students from, you know, the cities such as, you know, the University of Sydney and, you know, some of those other more, very much city-based universities. It gives them the opportunity, I guess, to really just expose themselves to what actually the industry has to offer in terms of the red meat industry. And, you know, from an employer's perspective, if you're in the red meat industry and you're wanting to bring talent into your business, this is the number one platform that you go directly to, and you've got full access to 160-odd students each and every year that you can continuously bring into your business. And like I said at the start, Kerry, this is definitely, a really unique model and platform where, you can go there and you know for sure that those students have got a passion for the red meat industry. And if they haven't, developed that passion by the end of the week, they've definitely opened their eyes up to a whole nother industry that they weren't even aware of. And I think that's the most powerful thing about ICMJ is that you've got some of these, people that probably didn't even think about the red meat industry or the supply chain as a whole. And by the end of that week, they're fully thinking about all these different opportunities and, you know, there's so many opportunities out there, you know, in the red meat industry and across the supply chain that, you know, that they've just fully opened their eyes up to be able to, you know, now start to think about, well, what do I want to do or where can I head? And that's the great thing about this program and, you know, that overall conference because you really do get that whole supply chain, impact.
Chloe Gould and Ethan Mooney, alumni from the ICMJ program. Thank you so much for being on The Grill for Beef Central.
Thank you, Kerry.
Thank you. Pleasure.
And thank you for joining us. Until next time, I'm Kerry Lonergan. This has been The Weekly Grill brought to you by Elders and Rhinogard by Zoetis.